Legacy, the three chairs. I hope you're in one. If you're not, I hope tonight, today, tomorrow, your church and your pastor preaches tomorrow. Get on your face. Ask somebody to go down and pray with you and beg God to help you to be a committed Christian. Totally committed. Totally. Thank you, preacher. I've enjoyed this. And man, it is 11:46. Hallelujah. I think they're clapping because I quit the meet. I've enjoyed.
It's about Esther. One of the things significant about Esther, or that I would say different about Esther, is the only book in the Bible that that the name of God doesn't show up. So the name of God is not in the book of Esther. And but I want us to look here this morning. We're going to look at a practical application in the life of Mordecai in the book of Esther, and we're going to apply it into our life as Christians. And what I really want us to look at is our relationship as we see the relationship of Mordecai, and at the end of the story. Now, if you don't know the rest of the story, the front end of the story, I'll briefly go over it as to what has happened. But we're looking at the very end of the story, the last chapter, Esther chapter 10, and we want to look at this in a practical sense of how it is in our Christian life, how we really have a great similitude with Mordecai. So look, read these three verses with me. We're going to read the whole chapter of chapter 10, okay, the whole thing. And there's three verses, of course. The Bible says in verse 1 of Esther chapter 10, "And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto him, unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of all the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed." Father, bless the reading of thy word today and our time together in this Sunday school class. In Christ's glorious name we ask. Amen. Mordecai was known in history as the captive Jew. We know that his story is really almost second to none if you begin to look at what struggles and trials that he went through during the times of the captivity and even under King Ahasuerus. We find here, as it's recorded in the second verse of chapter 10, is that the life of Mordecai, the occurrences of Mordecai, both his tributes, his tribulations, his problems, his struggles, but his advancement is written in a book that is called the Chronicles of the Kings of Media and Persia. He is known in that passage, in that book, as the captive Jew. That's what he was known as. But I want us to look a little more deeply in the verses that we're looking at here. And I want us to notice how we can apply this, or how we are seen in Mordecai's life in our personal Christian life today. Being saved and born again, we have something in our life really and truly is much more greater than what Mordecai had. But we see a similitude in the physical of what we have today in the spiritual. And so understand that Mordecai, as a captive Jew, there in that period of time, under the ruling of the Medes and the Persians, one of the struggles that we know that he went through is all the people were being taken captive, all the young ladies. We know that Esther ended up being made queen with the occurrences that happened. Haman was in charge. He was second in charge of all of the province there. Haman hated the Jews. Now there's a great and lengthy history that we could study about that even applies in modern day history with what happened with Haman. He prepared the gallows, as you know, to destroy all of the Jews. He even had the king write a decree that went out into every language and every kindred and every tongue, a decree that the Jews would be destroyed on one particular day. Now that particular day is known in Hebrew history as the ninth of Av, and that is the darkest day in Jewish history, the most dreadful day that has occurred. There are several things in the history of Israel that has occurred, several tragedies that occur on the ninth of Av, and one of them, of course, is the day that they were all to be destroyed. Maybe if you get a chance to study out the Feast of Purim, you'll see the history of the Feast of Purim, and that was where they were spared here in the days of Esther and the days of Mordecai. Mordecai, if you'll go back with me to Esther chapter 4, and I'll give you just a real quick, this is just as quick as possible to give a history of what had happened here. when the commandment was made, and all the, you know, all the sentence of death was put upon the Jewish people. In chapter 4, this is what we find in verse 1. The Bible says, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice, cried with a loud and bitter cry. What he did is he stood up against what was going on. He stood up against the wrong of the people, the destruction of his own people. Look down in verse 4. He sends a note. The Bible says, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. So in other words, he was not going to come out of his sackcloth. He was not going to come out of his position. He wasn't going to change his stand on standing against the wrong doing of the government, wrongdoing of the king to destroy his people. And of course, verse 13 in Esther chapter 4 says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, said, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And in other words, what he is saying unto her, that you are in the king's house, you are and have been appointed queen for a time like this to spare the Jewish people. But what you notice there in that statement, he said, the Lord's going to spare us. The Lord is going to, he's going to save us. So this is either your time to shine or another one's going to arise and they're going to shine, but your family will be destroyed with the others. So we're saying all that to say this, Mordecai's faith throughout this entire process, throughout the decree of their destruction, was solid. He took a stand upon his faith. He believed that God would spare them. He believed that God would bless them. He believed that God would deliver them out of the hands of Haman, the evil one. And, of course, we know the end of the story. He did that. As a matter of fact, the very gallows that Haman had prepared for Mordecai to be hanged on, Haman himself and his entire family was hanged on those gallows and removed. So here we are at the end of the story. The end of the story, this man who took a stand in sackcloth and ashes, who said, I will not benefit anything in the physical flesh. I will stand and do the right thing. We find now, number one, that he is promoted. Look with me in verse 3. It says, for Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus. This is what I want us to see in chapter 10 in verse 3 as we apply this to what we have today in the Christian life. Mordecai was exalted to the highest position in the land next to the king. He was a man whose life was sought. He was a man who was considered to be an offscourn of the world. He was a man who was hated. He was a man who was sought to be destroyed and done away with. Think about this for just a second. Can you imagine somebody disliking bright blondes? Okay, there's only one blonde in here. Can you imagine one person, or two blondes, you dry eyes too. Can you imagine a person despising blondes so much that he wanted to wipe every blonde out on the face of the planet? That was Haman's mindset. He wanted to wipe them out just because they were Jews, just because of who they were. Or this, what if somebody had blue eyes? All blue eyes must go. That was what Haman wanted to do. He looked at the Jews as being an offscouring, as being a scourge to the world, so he wanted them destroyed. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, it says, even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer, being defamed, we entreat. Paul says this, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscourn in all things unto this day. What does that mean to us today? That's how the world typically many times looks at the Christians. They're like, man, those Christians, we don't, you know, we got our own things to do. We don't want anything to do with them. We were eating in the hotel this morning, and some of the people that had came in, I guess, yesterday, is a big soccer crew. So here we are down there in our suits, eating our breakfast, getting ready to go to church, and this is all crew of soccer. They're going to play soccer today. They got their own thing to do in the world. You know what, guys? They need to be saved. They need to be born again, and then possibly they'll come out of that soccer on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? But the reality is the world looks at us as if we're just odd. We're just the offscore. We're just over there. That's the way Haman looked at the Jews, and that's the way he thought of the Jews. But what happened at the end of the story? Where was Haman standing? He was standing right next to the king. Haman was in outside of the king. He was in the highest position in all of the civilized world. In these times, you didn't have a multitude of world powers ruling. You had one. You had at one time, you had Egypt that ruled, and then they were destroyed. And then you have the Babylonian Empire that came in about 606 BC. When the Babylonian Empire came in, they ruled the entire civilized world. Anywhere there was a city, anywhere there was a people, they were under their dominion. And then after that, you had the Medes and the Persians. After that, you had the Greeks. And after that, you had the Roman Empire. So it was a one world power is what you had in these days. So in other words, what you have with this, with Mordecai in this period of time, he's standing right next to the numero uno, for lack of better terms, he's standing next to the man. Not one of the presidents, not one of the kings, but the king of all the civilized world at that time. So they were looked at one time as an offscouring, but today we find that he was promoted. Friend, can I tell you this today? If you're here this morning and you are saved and you're born again of the blood of Christ, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you know where you are right now? You say, well, I'm here in West Melbourne, Florida. I'm sitting here in Heritage Baptist Church in Sunday school class. Well, physically and, you know, right now you are, but not in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God today, we are just as Haman was in Esther chapter 10. We are at the right hand of the King of all kings. Hold your place there in Esther 10 and look over there in Ephesians chapter 1 with me. I'm going to give you a couple verses here. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to show you where our Lord and Savior is. I need to save my place back there. Make sure you save your place in Esther so we don't spend 10 minutes trying to get back there. So today, just as Mordecai, just as his relationship with the king, the Medes and Persians, had changed, we find that our relationship, when we became a child of God, had changed as well with the King of all kings. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Well, we're going to skip around a little bit. Really want to get into chapter 2. But look at chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Watch this. In Christ. Circle that in your Bible if you write. According as it hath, as he hath chosen us in him. There's another in. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Look over there in verse 20 with me. The Bible says in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now look with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2, and begin with me in verse 1. We've already established where Jesus Christ is. We've already known that we are in him, but let's look at the proof positive of our promotion. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, And you hath he quickened. That word quickened means bring to life. He has made you alive. He says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I want to stop there just for a second. You see a contrast there in verse 2. There was a time when we walked according to the course of this world. If you guys, if we went on a trail hike today, and I don't know if you've ever walked trails, but they have different symbols, you know, to follow. You got like a red square, then you got a red octagon, you got a blue circle, and if you get mixed up on those, like some guys did, they followed the wrong red and ended up in the wrong area, and I was way off this direction, and they were way off that direction, and they told me, they said the best way they knew that I hadn't come there is because the spider webs were still in the midst of the trail. I said, that's great. I hate spiders, but anyway, I do, man. I can't stand spiders. But anyway, we'll not try not to get off track. But you know, there was a course that we walked. There was a way that we walked prior to being saved. And it was according to the course of this world. It was the way the world led us down. And we followed their signs and their ways and their actions and their life. And, you know, the world got something new, then we went out and got something new. The world wore their hair a certain way, and then we wore our hair a certain way. That's called the course of this world. But it's even more than that, because it's the course of sin and the course of shame and the course of destruction. In verse 2, it goes on to say, according not only to the world, the course of this world, but it says, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That's old Satan himself. He is the prince and power of the air. See, when Satan was created, he was created as Lucifer. And the Bible says that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was given dominion over the first and second heavens, which we know the first heaven to be our sky and the second heaven to be what we see as outer space, if you will. The third heaven is beyond the crystal sea, and that's God's abode. Satan was removed, or Lucifer was removed from there because of his trespass, but he still remained and contained that dominion over that first and second heaven. When Adam fell by transgression, he took dominion over the world and the kingdoms thereof. So that's what we find. He says, the prince and the power of the air, the spirit, and now worketh in the children of disobedience. When we disobey God, we are following the ways of Satan. We're following the prince of this air, the ruler of darkness. Look in verse 3. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation. The word conversation there in verse 3 means conduct or lifestyle. We had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Watch this. And raised us up together. Together with who? With Jesus Christ. And made us to sit together with who? With all of us together, the body of Christ, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What is that to say? When we got saved and we were born again of the blood of Christ, we were promoted to stand and sit next to the King of Kings. Just like we see in Mordecai's life. Mordecai took a stand to do the right thing. He took a stand to believe the right thing. He took a stand for the preservation of his people. And his promotion at the end of the story, man, he's standing next to the main guy in charge of the entire civilized world. And today, we are, as children of God, as being a child of God, being born again of the blood of Christ, even though we're living in this world right now, even though we're having to deal with the sins of this world, we know today that spiritually speaking, in the eyes of God, who dwells outside the realm of time, we are today sitting in heavenly places. We are just as good as being with him today as we will be when he either comes back or we pass away in the flesh. So even though we're here physically on this earth, spiritually speaking, in the eyes of God's eternal grace and mercy, we are in heavenly places today. That should make you be happy about that, amen? Knowing that our life is secure through our promotion, and we today are standing next to the highest position in all of creation, because we're in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice something. Because of that second part of the Christian relationship, we see the spiritual side of it. The spiritual side of the Christian relationship is that we're standing next to the King. We're sitting in heavenly places right here, right now. That can never be lost. Okay? If you're a child of the Lord Jesus Christ today, you can't lose that. There's not a scripture that supports it. You have eternal salvation just as much today as the day that you received it, when you cried out and asked him for forgiveness of sins and made Jesus Christ your personal Savior. That's called eternal security. But we're also, in our promotion, we're given in this relationship power. Go back to Esther chapter 10. And I know this is kind of a greatly practical application. It's not so much we understand that part, I hope. Look there in verse 3, and we notice here that Mordecai, the Jew, was next to King Ahasuerus. Now watch these next few words. And great among the Jews. There's a fellowship that we all have in the family. There's a fellowship and a relationship that I believe is second to none. I believe in the Christian realm today, in this life, physically speaking, we see the promotion spiritually speaking that we're next to the King. But physically speaking today, where are we? We're here together, one with another. And there's a relationship that we have with fellow believers in Christ that cannot be duplicated with any other aspects of this world today. And I'm saying all that to say, to make this point. It says he was great among the Jews. We have been given a power in this world today. And you know what that power is? A power to present the gospel to the lost and dying of this world. We've been given not only a responsibility, but we've been given an opportunity to be a light unto a lost world. So, you know, the Bible tells us that I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, correct? We know that. We know that when Jesus Christ was with us, spiritually with him up there, and Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of us. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So we know that everywhere we go, guess who goes with us? Say it.
Grace.
Grace? But who goes with us?
No, Christ.
I'm sorry, I just said grace. Well, grace goes with us too, that'd be good. But Jesus Christ goes with us everywhere, he's correct.
I'm not very graceful, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm glad he is, amen? He makes up where we don't have it, amen? I'm not graceful either. But Jesus Christ, everywhere we go, and I mean everywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 366 in a leap year, Jesus Christ is with us no matter what. That means wherever we go, we are representing him. Whatever we do, we are representing him. Whoever we're with, we're representing him. So whether we're at Publix or Albertsons or wherever, if we're at a grocery store, do they even have Albertsons anymore? Am I?
No, they're pretty much gone.
I think they're pretty much gone. But, you know, whether we're at the grocery store, whether we're at the bank, whether we're at the dry cleaners, whether we're at school, wherever you may be, in the neighborhood, Jesus Christ is with you. And because of that, right there, we're representing him.
Right.
Everything that we do, everything that we say, when we get around our friends, especially around our friends who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, who do not attend church, who Sunday is just another beach day to them, just another day to do their own thing. You know, maybe Sunday is the day they mow their lawn, they do this, they do that. We are representing Jesus Christ. For everything that we say, everything that we do, all of those things, we need to understand that we've been given the power to be a light unto a lost and dying world. And we will give an account one day of what we did with that power. We find for Mordecai, his promotion brought him next to the king, just like our promotion in Christ put us next to the King of Kings. However, it also gave him, the Bible says that he was great among the Jews. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you guys are going to be the president of a Fortune 500 company, but that's not what this is referring to. What we're looking here is we're looking at us being given power to be a witness to the lost and dying. You know, the Bible tells me that all heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. One. Think about that for a second. Now, listen, I love good singing. I love good singing. I love getting in the church that will shout it out and will sing it out. And man, I love that stuff. I mean, it's great. I tell you one thing I like is getting into a preacher's meeting when it's all a bunch of preachers there. Man, we start singing How Great Thou Art, or Amazing Grace. And I mean, I love that. It is wonderful. I love to hear those vocal cords reverberate throughout the whole auditorium when we sing. But I want you to imagine what it's got to be like in heaven when a child comes to the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior and those angels sing out for glory to the Lord that one soul is saved. My soul. We can't fathom it. We can't understand. One day we will. But we can't understand it. Guys, we've been given that power. We don't have time to look there, but Jesus Christ said, he said that greater works will we do, greater power we do than even what the apostles have done. You know, they had the power. They could touch people and be healed. Matter of fact, there were people trying to get into the shadow of Peter. Just trying to get a shadow to cross over that they may be healed of infirmities, physical infirmities. But even despite all of the healings, the physical healings that they were able to perform, guys, we have a greater power today. And that is a power of the testimony that Jesus Christ has given us. We have a personal testimony, but we have a promoted testimony that Jesus Christ would have us present to this world today. And so I want to give you one last point on that thought. I don't know what time we're supposed to finish.
10.
All right, 10. So we got 5 minutes. So I want to sum this up in 3 minutes here. Look back in Esther chapter 10 and verse 3. We find that Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus. That means he was promoted. We find that he had power. He was great among the Jews. But watch this. Look at the positive aspect of his life. And accepted of all the multitude of his brethren. He was accepted of all the multitude. You know what? Can I say this to you here? Mordecai had a good name. You know, the Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The Christian, we don't have to compromise our standards. We don't have to compromise biblical standards. We don't have to fit in with what they call the in crowd. Okay? I'm telling you right now, if you were to go through our yearbook and look at who was chosen to do this and do that and all that, I'm telling you, it's actually a joke is what it is. But people put so much precedence on man, they want to be this person when they're a teenager. But the Bible tells us that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. I can remember in college, and when I transferred up into Nebraska to play football, I was brought on, and the newspapers were writing articles about me. I mean, all of these people, out of 160 ball players on a team, all of these people are, and I remember in spring practice one time, we got this big ring of all of us players, and we're sitting there listening to the coach give us our final words, you know, from practice. And I'm taking a knee, and all these people are. But there was one guy on our team. His name was Gordon Whitman. He was a good athlete. He was a great running back. Now, he wasn't great far as going to the next level, but he was a great ball player. Really was. He was a great student in college. He was a scholar athlete. As a matter of fact, I believe his scholarship came from academics and not from football. And I'm looking at him. He was a good guy. He was saved. He was a Christian. He lived a clean and pure life. And I looked across that whole team, and throughout the whole time that all these people are looking at me and saying this about me when I first got on campus, I'm looking at him. I'm saying, that's who we need to be like. That guy, man, that's a good guy right there. And I looked up to him. He never even knew that. He never knew that. But I did. I looked up to him because we need to have a positive lifestyle here. The Bible says that even a child is known by his doings, okay? If I was to sit here and I was to say, when you think of a pirate, what do you think of? Well, you think of a pirate, you know, he's got the do-rag on and the patch and maybe the peg leg or maybe the hook or this and that. You know why? Because that's what he is. He's a pirate. So what do pirates do? Well, they rob and they take people captive, and that's just what a pirate does. They're known by what they are. What are we today? We are a child of the living God. We are a child of the King. And we have been promoted spiritually today to be in heavenly places. And we are standing next to the King of all kings, the very one that spoke everything that there is into existence, and the very one that there is nothing. In him, all things consist. None of these things can even hold their molecular composition unless the Lord Jesus Christ allows it to happen. So we are standing promoted next to him. Number two, we've been given a power. And that is the power of the testimony in this world today. A great power. We can use that power for negative, or we can use that power, lastly, to be positive. And when I say positive, a positive outlook, a positive attitude, positive words, positive works, positive works. This is not the power of positive preaching. It's not that at all. But it's saying that we need to have a testimony in this community today, in our sphere of influence, that a positivity, so that we may use that power to bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too may be promoted next to the King. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of Sunday school. We thank you for the class, Lord. I pray that you bless it to the hearts and minds of all the people. Father, we love you, and we ask you to bless the service to follow. Be with Brother Elon, Lord God, as he does preach this morning. Be with us tonight as we close the meeting down. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory for everything said and done. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Stern.